All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Hopefully you guys are having a great day in the big city as we've shuffled the deck a little bit. We've got Nick outside of the cage, escaping the glass, and sitting next to me filling in for Barry, who's in El Paso doing some comedy. What's up, Nicholas?
What's up, man? What's going on?
All good in the neighborhood. And then, of course, coming out of retirement, new Twitter handle, new clothing line. I don't know, same attitude. At Tyler Drew Scott behind the glass.
New clothing line.
Tyler's upgraded his entire
wardrobe. I see what you're saying.
Because of the fact that as the assistant program director, big titles comes with big expectations, and one of those expectations is you got to dress the part a little
bit. I think both AJ and Tyler have upgraded their wardrobe, right? Or maybe they've always had it, but they just started to show it now.
Yeah, I would agree. One way or the other, I think that, yeah, both Tyler and AJ have upgraded their overall appearance during work time.
But no Barry Laminack. I'm happy to take his seat
hours. No, I just wonder how hot you're going to leave it when you leave, because I know this is you're good for this.
Yeah, I'm just happy to take any shine away from Barry Laminack. Anytime I have an opportunity to take a little light away from Barry Laminack, it just makes my day. And I might have done something to help me completely take this job permanently.
Well, with the assistant program director behind the window, I think you're in the driver's seat, son. So please go ahead, elaborate.
No, he's always requesting these gummies when he goes to, when he's on these road trips.
Yes.
And normally I just give him two and I say, hey, just take one at a time.
Okay.
This time I gave him four and I told him they were all super, super weak. And I told him to take them all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully he runs into a light pole or something like that.
You think that he'll call you when this happens?
He won't know. Okay. No one will know. And none of the suspects will throw me under the bus.
No, because at least it's not out there and people aren't aware of it. So
Nope.
Because, that's the other thing. There are going to be suspects that if you go at him or anything like that today, they're gonna make sure that he's aware.
No, but he's out today. Tomorrow he's out as well. But the suspects are on remote and Cody Stutes will be filling in.
And what about Monday?
Monday, we are not on remote, I don't think.
No, Tyler, Monday is it who? As the assistant PD, Tyler.
No, Stutes is in on Monday because Barry is driving back.
So Stutes is tomorrow and Monday and Nick today. Gotcha.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got that out of the way. And then hopefully someone will be in contact with you if Barry does indeed go through with this so we can figure out just exactly what effect it might have on him.
Yeah. If he makes it back on Tuesday, my plan failed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All that's right. Basically.
But you don't want to inflict any bodily harm on him. You're just hoping that the opportunity for him to get completely screwed up.
Yeah. Like it's just quick. Okay. It's painless.
All right. I see. So you've plotted a plan.
Yeah.
Tyler, do you go back? You're not going to go back to the original Twitter handle for the days that you fill in as a producer? No?
No. That's too much. It's too much.
You changed it because Tyler Scott was probably taken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. All variations of T. Scott.
Okay.
Everything.
Yeah. I didn't have that problem with Sciarra. No. But Joel made me change it.
I did not make you change.
Dude, you started a campaign saying my Twitter handle sucked.
It was just so boring.
It was at Nick Sciarra. It was my name.
Yeah?
And you told sure everybody it sucked.
I didn't say it sucked. It was just you needed more pizzazz to it. We came up with some good ones for you. You turned down.
Yeah.
Now, don't Nick at Night. I had a lot of them. I don't remember all of them.
I didn't like Nick at Night.
Okay. Well, a lot of people
didn't like that.
When you get out, you want them to like you, Nick at Night.
I know.
So, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
Man, do you ever get that feeling with family, like that family member that you normally live with, and then they go on a trip, and then you miss them, big time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they finally make it back, you realize how much they actually annoy you. You absolutely love them, but they annoy you like crazy.
It doesn't take enough a whole lot of time to all of a sudden realize you're okay with them being
on trip. Yeah, that's my mom right now.
I hope she's not listening.
No, she doesn't listen to the show.
Okay.
She rarely listens to radio. She doesn't care.
Okay.
I love my mom, but I am officially the IT guy. I haven't seen her in 6 months.
Okay.
And she just landed in town yesterday.
Yes.
She's got 3 Facebook accounts. I got to consolidate it back to one. The remote is not working. The TV is not working. The iPhone is not working. The iPad isn't working. It's so annoying.
So it was non-planned that she has 3 Facebook accounts?
No, she, what happens is, like, she's on Facebook, she can't find her account for whatever reason, and then she keeps creating a new one, and I keep telling her to stop doing it. So she literally has 3 Facebook accounts, and I gotta consolidate it back to one.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, she's worse than Barry Warner.
I thought she was, like, trolling. I thought, you know, you got one for straight mom, just, you know, mom doing mom things, and then you got the one where she's chiming in, commenting on everybody's Facebook post telling them what idiots they are.
Yeah, like every piece of technology she touches is not functional when she touches it. Like it's just one thing after. I love my mom, but geez. I mean, the iPad is the one thing I feel like is like, no offense, like old person friendly.
Yeah.
Because you
but,
can
I mean, you said remote. Like she can't mess up the remote that she wasn't around while she was traveling.
That's a whole different story. So we have like this like Arabic TV plan, but this one particular like ghetto rig machine that I bought that she found through a friend off the internet. If you pay a one-time fee, you get all this Arabic TV for free.
Okay.
And you never have to pay a monthly.
Okay.
But it's obviously like very glitchy. And so I have
illegal
Sling.
Uh-huh.
I have Sling and I can just pay an additional 10 or 15 or 20 bucks a month. And it just goes through her little Roku TV, and it'd be way easier. But she insists on using this little white white unit that we bought from overseas. That's ghetto as anything. Like it's just a terrible unit. It's just not functional.
And she's going to continue to use it.
Yeah, and I have no other choice but to continue.
And
to
she's
fix
watching
it.
Shows on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Straight streaming. Yeah.
All I know is that I just got a steady dose of overwhelming baby talk last night that I was like, okay, I was done with that. And then everybody was getting into names. I'm like, nope, no chance. Because the last time that we were having a girl, the name Taylor was not even in the equation. With a month to go before Lisa had the baby, Madison was going to be the name. Madison is the capital of Wisconsin, so I've got a connection to it. I thought you'd call her Maddie when she's growing up. Cool name. Lisa's on board. She thinks about it with a month to go before we get ready to have the baby. She goes, you know what? It's to you. I don't like it. I'm like, to me? She's like, yep. She goes, I think we got to start from scratch. I go, well, then tell you what. You go break it down to your top 5 and your top 3, and when we get close, I'll pretend like I've got an opinion, and then if goes with yours, we're good. If not, you pick it. We'll go.
I like Madison.
I think it's a cool name. And she's already basically kind of laid the groundwork. She's going to kibosh that again this time. So I'm like, well, then, like I said, when you're ready to start talking names, give me a list, give me your favorites, and then we'll start going from there.
So you're
going
to lose the battle regardless. You could suggest 5 different names, but it's ultimately her to make the decision. Is that safe to say?
I'll say it's... I'll
like
say,
75%, 25%. You're,
I don't know if
you're
it's
25%.
Quite that much, but like... Because I like the name Taylor, so that turned out okay. Because that was one of the names we both agreed would be in. Here's where I will participate till we narrow it down to like 5 and 3. And then if she's really passionate, unless I really don't like it, I'll be like, okay. Because I'm just not going to fight it. There are certain battles you just don't want to fight. That's one of them.
See, I've never been a part of that conversation for obvious reasons, but I would. I don't know. I
mean,
I
guess, your dog.
The ex did, but I named the other dog that she took.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Okay. Yeah, she just took the dog that I named, and I took the dog that she named.
Was that intentional? Was that part of the deal?
No, I was basically forced to take the dog that I had, but I love the dog. Okay. So, yeah.
I was going to say, well, then basically it was a 75-25
there,
too.
She initially took both. Like, I love both of these dogs. And then she realized she couldn't handle both of them, and then she gave me one back. Yeah.
I basically get all the nicknames to all of our dogs and most of the names. And if she's passionate about one of those, then we go with it. Like she loves the name Bo for a dog. So the 3-legged, 1-eyed dog, she wanted to name Bo. I said, well, just name him Bobo. She's like, why Bobo? I go, because Bo bounces. He's only got 3 legs. So I'm going to go with Bobo. And so Bobo stuck, and that's how we got Bobo out of the deal. So, all right, we're just getting started. Hey, there's always a way for you guys to reach us as we got plenty to talk about. James Harden evidently can see better, although those eyes are still bothering him. Game three is not till Saturday, so there's some Rocket stuff we can cover. But, of course, the NBA playoffs going on. Astros going on right now. Josh Reddick just made one hell of a catch in the gap. It's 1-1 with the Twins in the fourth, so we'll keep you updated there as well. But if you want to reach out and touch the show, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at Tyler Drew Scott, and he is vocal, and he's opinionated, and he is going to tell you what he feels about everything. Just don't film him watching Game of Thrones. It's at The Producer Nick, which today should have changed because you're not The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here for you. It's ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. First half hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry out in El Paso, Nick in, Tyler behind the glass. Appreciate you guys taking us along wherever you may be on this Thursday in the big city. It's a nooner in the Twin Cities, the final game of the series between the Stros and the Twins. Spoke a little too soon. It was 1-1 when we went to break. It's now 5-1 Twins as the Peacock is getting beat up.
10 minutes before the show, I hear Tyler like yelling and screaming, and then I look up, he's watching the game, and Bregman hits a homer. And now I look up, it's 5-1. Astros are down.
Now, speaking of Peacock, or at least part of his name, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, and Tyler, I want you in on this, because I know, like Nick just said, you're a big Astros fan, but you're also hip to all of these different things around the team and pop culture as well. But here's the thing. I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but it started to leak out yesterday that the GIF that's been making the rounds of George Springer when he was mad at Angel Hernandez when they got the shot of him in the dugout where he called him an effing sea sucker.
Right.
Now it's being said that MLB wanted to keep it under wraps, but they fined him. And they would not say how much, but they fined him for using an offensive and derogatory term that I believe was also kind of referencing the fact that it could have connotations to offend.
But is that normal in baseball? Because you know that happens in the NBA all the time.
Well, everything that happens in the NBA that I've ever seen, and that's why we had that conversation a while back where I said, look, if anything that they can clean up whatever they want in NBA, but they're never going to clean up the culture in the locker room.
Right.
And the culture in the locker room is not PC. It's not HR friendly.
Nope.
And it's not something that they care about.
No, they don't. That's why there's someone hired by every team to ensure nothing too crazy being said in the locker room or the clubhouse gets published on the air, or you know, via audio or video or whatever the case may be. Look, maybe more than one person heard Springer say that, and that it wasn't just a gift that was, you know, a situation where you could just read lips.
It was pretty obvious he said it, but he was at the top step of the dugout. Tyler, I don't know if you saw it or not, but the big thing to me is, unless, I don't think he's offending any of his teammates. I don't know, but I don't know what the big deal is. I had people on Twitter that started conversations with groups of people asking females and asking different males, hey, are you offended by this? Do you feel that it's an insensitive term to the gay and lesbian community, or is it just an insensitive term? And trying to break it down, I'm like, is it really that serious?
I don't want to say something and say that it's not serious, but I think that it could be offensive to some people, and I think that's what MLB is trying to nip in the bud. Like, they don't want anybody offended, and that's just the reality of the time that we live in. Like, if somebody's going to get offended, they are going to reach out and make it known, and then that organization is in apology mode.
So to you, this is more of a situation of them making sure it doesn't get out of control.
This is MLB probably trying to play cover your ass.
Yeah. Well, okay, but prove it. Prove it to me that he said it. Because you remember the Blue Jays outfielder that got suspended and the people that have gotten suspended during, like, when there's a brawl. I think it was Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson was the bat flipper from the White Sox recently this year. And they said they didn't suspend him for the bat flip and then the confrontation at the mound. They suspended him because he dropped a offensive derogatory word that offended people in the middle of going through it. And that was because the umpire and everybody was within earshot. Springer's over there on the top step of the dugout. Unless his own teammates aren't going to rat him out. So all of a sudden, I want to know where they're, what, they got brought in a world champion lip reader? And that's suddenly the way that they're going to make sure that he gets, I'd appeal that fine.
Unless he said it loud enough that a fan could hear it.
Right.
Because this was during the Rangers series, right?
I believe it was the Rangers series.
It was the Rangers series, and whenever he got struck, like, it was a bad call, but I remember him getting mad about it, and then, I mean, opposing fans always have the opportunity to kind of rat out whatever players.
Oh, yeah.
Good
or if there's an MLB official.
I thought it was at home. I thought it was at home, but I think you're right. If it was on the road, it makes more sense.
They were in Arlington that series.
Or if there was an MLB official that could corroborate the story. I don't know if you just go by an umpire. I mean, I feel like that's kind of weak on the MLB part to just say, well, the umpire said that he said so-and-so, so we're going to go by his word. Because let's be honest, there's no doubt in my mind that an umpire has said something derogatory or bad back to a player. Because it's just human nature. If someone disrespects you, and he disrespects you in the form of name-calling, you're probably going to say something back. And there's a lot of officials in the NBA and the NFL that will do the same. So, I don't know, maybe someone else heard it. Because I feel like you can't just go by the umpire and the umpire alone. I feel like that's unfair.
So Kevin Pillar was the outfielder that when he got plunked and he was going to charge the mound or he looked out to the mound, he used, I believe, the same term. And he got a two-game suspension. But again, that's right in front of the umpire. That's right there in front of, you know, loud enough, obviously, in the middle of the diamond at home plate that a lot of people are within earshot. But I mean, I believe when Springer did this, it was right after an Altuve home run. So there was people stirred up. There was a lot of things going on in the dugout. But he was still upset about the fact that, like Tyler said, he had several at-bats where he got really bad calls from Angel Hernandez. But unless one of his teammates went, oh, hey, you can't say that. I'm going to report you to the league. I'd like to say, you know, if Springer's got a lawyer or whatever, say, okay, show me the proof. Prove to me that he actually said that. He could have mouthed it. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the justification is. And that's probably why. But you said the MLB has officially fined them, but not necessarily revealing the details of the fine. Like, they're not saying why they fined them.
Oh, Tyler. Here it is. Stories on Yahoo Sports. During the 7-game homestand for the Astros that included a 3-game set versus the Twins, George Springer was seen shouting a homophobic slur at umpire Angel Hernandez. Don Ennis of OutSports reports that Major League Baseball punished Springer in an unyet known way for his outburst. So it was home.
So a sea sucker is a homophobic slur if you're saying it to another dude?
Effing sea sucker is the term. And they're saying when he... So here's the deal. April 23rd, bottom of the 8th, Springer took a called strike 3 he thought was ball 4. Unhappy with Hernandez's call, he tossed his bat, argued with the umpire, appeared to say his name and say the same pitch you just called the ball. Once he returned to the dugout, TV cameras happened to be on Springer when he clearly yelled the term. So that means that either the audio was up and the boom mic in the dugout caught it, or you got a world champion lip reader.
There was sufficient evidence to submit, you know, to hand down that fine. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. I don't think you can just go by the umpire. So, look, you got to watch what you say. And unfortunately for him, it's one of those situations where you might be right, where the right person heard it, and therefore he's getting fined. That happens. So, it's not necessarily fair, but it happens.
So I mentioned Pillar, their most recent Major League Baseball suspension for using a term similar. Matt Joyce, then with the A's, was suspended 2 games for using a homophobic slur responding to a heckler in August of 2017. Pillar was in May of 2017 for shouting a homophobic slur at Braves reliever Jason Mott. They said what is clear is Springer was not going to be suspended, but he was fined.
Well, I thought he got a 1-game suspension for it.
It says right here, what is clear is that Springer wasn't suspended.
But I think part of it if MLB is looking at this kind of as a whole, mm-hmm. they probably see the Rangers series. They saw what happened there while they're in Arlington. Then whenever he is back here umpiring a game and he Springer kind of gets the same kind of calls, that directing that towards an umpire is not a good look for the MLB. So maybe they are using that kind of excuse to fine him,
mm-hmm.
but it may be more kind of an underlying thing where it's like, dude, you can't talk like that to an umpire.
I think it's more,
and especially like at the top of a dugout, like that's a kind of a public place.
Yeah,
where
it's a good point.
Cameras are
it's a good
there.
Point.
So
now they did say that some of the people on the text line also brought up a good point. It's possible when they started talking to him about it that he admitted saying,
yeah.
And of course, it's kind of like Andy Pettit versus Roger Clemens. If you admit your guilt and you apologize for it right off the top, the suspensions and all that are a lot more lenient.
I saw that on the text line as well. Another thing is, if he knows that it's just going to be a fine and there's no suspension, or if he knows what's coming and it's not necessarily significant, I think you're more likely to tell the truth or admit and just get this situation passed over you. It's like maybe you know you're not guilty, but I'm sure someone has pleaded guilty because they knew this would be the easier way for them to put the situation behind them. It happens all the time. And maybe he knew that the fine or the punishment wasn't that significant and he fessed up. I'm not saying that's what happened.
I'll give you the other
side. I'm
saying
that's a possibility.
The other side of it is every team has a legal counsel, okay? They have a legal counsel. In the Rockets' case, it's illegal. The Astros, whether you go to their legal counsel or Springer has his own attorney, you go to him and say, look, the past precedent says the last two guys that verified said these terms got two-game suspensions. So if you're facing a two-gamer, right off the top, whether you let your lawyer do it or someone, whoever on the baseball side is representing, you know, the team and George in talking to the league, you say, hey, if he admits he says it, he'll take the fine, but no games.
Yeah. I think I'd be more likely to take that deal.
I think absolutely, because again, with the fine is one thing, paying the money, but if you lose games, those are game checks that are on top of the fine.
Right.
Now you're losing money, now you're also losing time, you're hurting your team, and if you can avoid hurting your team and just my bad it and take it in the pocketbook a little bit, I think that you just do it.
We got another text on the text line. I'm an LGBT listener. Trust me, seasucker is not a homophobic term to any of us. It's 2019.
See?
Most homophobic slurs are laughable to the majority of us at this point.
Great text, but here's the thing. It, on the flip side, we're in 2019.
Where someone else might perceive it. That's right.
Exactly.
That's why I think that MLB is framing it this way.
Yeah.
So that way they don't look like a...
They nip it in the bud.
They don't look like a non-inclusive organization.
I made that mistake. I know what you're doing there.
Yes, I'm doing it.
I said it correctly earlier, too.
I agree with you, but I'm saying they nipped it in the bud. I want to be very clear about that. All right. So we're just getting rolling. Obviously, lots to talk about. I don't know if we're going to talk about the Astros much today, Tyler, as they're already down 7-1, but that's why we're here for you. You're looking for entertainment in your workday or wherever you may be in the big city? Give us a try. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go. Wherever you may be on a Thursday, tomorrow, and Friday, with Barry out, I would assume we will table the comedian of the week.
Or we can just have him send us a name.
That's on you.
It's up to Barry.
That's on you. I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I'll text him.
Figure that one out. He's on Twitter
right now.
We can
still play funny
clips.
So
he's still reachable. So a lot of people saying that the Springer deal is reminiscent of the scene in Bull Durham, using the same term. Throwing that out there for you guys. By the way, I don't know if you watched, figuring you were filling in for Barry, you had to become a baseball head for one night and at least watch the game last night. But two straight games that just, as an Astros fan, you're like, geez.
I mean, I watched the end of it. I saw when it was 4-0 and then when they extended the lead to 6, I was just like, wow, I'm done now.
They're getting beat by decent pitching, but, I mean, with a lineup that got beat 1-0 and couldn't score a run for Verlander in the first game of the series, then explode for 11 runs in the next game, and then the following two games, they're down 7-1 today. They got beat handily until they scored. They got shut out last night until they scored 2 in the ninth. So the bats, they aren't exactly ringing loud and clear right now. But,
so what was it? So McHugh allowed most of the runs, right?
McHugh got beat up a little bit yesterday, and now today Peacock got hit around the park. So it's kind of a combo platter. You know, early in the season, and the reason why ESPN was still able to give them an A- after the first month of the season is, one, they're leading the division. They came from a slow start to do that.
I was just going to ask you.
But it wasn't like a combo platter where whenever the bats kind of went silent, the pitching stepped up. Now that when the pitching slipped a little bit, the bats stepped up. But now you got both kind of flailing a little bit. Gerrit Cole and Verlander pitched well, but now you've got the back end of the rotation, which was always the concern. You've got Peacock and McHugh getting knocked around, and then the bats aren't really on fire.
Yeah, like I said, I only caught the end of the game, but I guess I feel like just going back and looking at some of the stories and, you know, giving you like a box score take, you know, I guess the only good was Correa. 13 straight games.
So then they benched him today. They gave him a day off. I'm like, so you got a 13-game hitting streak. The one guy in the lineup that's really hitting.
Yeah.
And they gave him the day off.
I don't know. I guess rest is more important. I don't know. It's not like it's going to kill his momentum, right? Or that could potentially kill his momentum if he has 13 games where he has a hit, right?
If you're hot, you ride the hot streak out. In most cases, you know, it's just like they say in basketball, you ride the hot hand. If a guy's been making shots, get him the ball till he stops making shots. If a guy's hitting the ball and has a 13-game hitting streak, don't take him out to the lineup till he has a slump or goes has an offer.
Right.
So I wouldn't have taken him out today. They're obviously facing one of the Twins' best pitchers. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, now you start getting into that conversation again about starting pitching. And Marcus Stroman is a guy out there with the Blue Jays that the Astros have been enamored with in the past. And someone had tweeted and tagged him and said, hey, we'd love to have you in Houston, something to that effect, and had him.
It was on his birthday. It was the crawfish boxes.
The crawfish boxes.
SB Nation.
Yeah.
The Astros blog.
Yeah, and so they had the picture of him pitching, but they superimposed the Astros uniform on him, and he liked it. He liked the post, and that got people's attention as well.
But so I went to his timeline, and any post that was wishing him a happy birthday, he liked it. So it wasn't like he only liked
don't
that.
Don't cover him. Don't ruin this, Tyler.
I'm not trying to ruin it. I'm just...
That's just facts.
I'm bringing the other side of the... Of the story.
I like this theory. I like this, you know, I'm trying to get people on board with this. Because here's the other thing, fellas. One of the guys that they were possibly interested in the offseason, they're not going to be trading for anytime soon after last night. A guy that they saw recently when the Indians came to town in the two series with the Indians. Corey Kluber, arguably the Indians' best pitcher over the last several years. Last night pitching, took, I think it was 102-mile-an-hour line drive back at him. Non-displaced broken arm, throwing arm, out 2 months.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal because I think Terry Francona just got that extension back in April. And ever since he's gotten that extension, he's been having issues. I mean, I don't feel bad for him, but he's been having issues. I think I was reading up on how Corey Kluber, like right after he got that extension, they had a two-game series against the White Sox. And leading up to that, I mean, he was like 9-0. I mean, he was just doing really well against that team. And then he leaves that game with, I think, like a 5.8 ERA. So, I mean, he's dealing with problem after problem. Plus, that other guy, is it Clevinger? He's out with a back issue.
Mike Clevinger's out, yeah.
I think it's like a muscle strain. So he has a whole bunch. And he's still on top. They're still on top of the division. So I guess he deserves a lot of credit.
Well, yeah, Francona's going to get the credit because the bottom line is they were starting to dabble with breaking up that team. And they realized Trevor Bauer, as we all know, with his Twitter battles with Alex Bregman and others, and the fact that he basically had a restraining order on like a college girl because he went all just crazy on her on Twitter. He's already said, as bizarre as he is, that he wants to spend the rest of his career on one-year deals. He wants to basically put up instead of shut up, and he's going to go to good teams that want to pay him the most, And he is going to prove himself year after year after year. And in the process of doing that, he basically has said, this is probably going to be my last year in Cleveland. Now, from a Kluber perspective, he's got 3 years and $51 or $52 million left. Really a deal at 17 a year when we see some of the price tags some of the pitchers are getting. But other than that, they're going to have decisions to make with a whole lot of big-time contracts. You've got great hitters like Ramirez and Lindor and guys like that you're going to have to pay. And it's Cleveland. It's not a big-time city.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach to take. I completely understand the unbelievable amount of belief in yourself. It's just a the injury factor that you don't know that you're going to get injured or not. So I don't mind you putting your name and your skills on the line, saying, hey, I only want to take 1 year contracts. You can predict kind of how well you're going to do if you have that kind of talent, but you can't predict an injury.
And you bring up a great point, because here's the thing: he may maximize in terms of his finances, as long as he stays healthy for several years, getting more than, and we see this, we just got done talking about it. If Kluber signed his deal 3 or 4 years ago and thought 17 was a great deal, the economy changes, you know, the entire baseball landscape changes, and the next thing you know, Verlander's making 27. Then, you know, Kershaw's making 30-some, and it keeps going up, and now he looks like a bargain. But if your point is very valid in the fact that if he gets hurt, you can say, well, I made this many millions over what I would have made if I had signed that 3 or 4 year deal. But if I get hurt and I'm on a 1 year deal, now it's a prove it deal.
Right. And you don't know. Also, like, this injury, sometimes they progress to get worse. Like, even with the Corey Kluber injury, they initially thought it was just a contusion. And then they later realized it was a fracture in his ulna. So you never know. I mean, sometimes even the doctors on these teams, they overlook stuff, and sometimes they could progressively get worse. We've seen it before. You have an injury on this day, 2 days later, it turns out to be a lot worse. So I just think that's a gamble. I respect the fact, it obviously means he believes in himself. I guess you can kind of use Kevin Durant as that example in the NBA, because he's kind of a guy that looks like he might just take small 1 year deals unless he goes to New York or whatever. And not to change the subject there, but I'm just saying, we usually players that have that approach, they have an unbelievable belief in themselves. It's the injury factor.
But you better
that
believe
I'm
in
concerned.
Your doctors, and you better believe in your regiment to take care of your body.
But aren't they using the team doctors in most cases? I mean, they can have their
own
doctor.
Like Tom Brady. Yeah. Look, like a lot
Tom
of these
Brady
guys,
is Tom Brady, though. Does every player have that? Like, well, a guy like Joe Green doesn't have it?
The article that I read when he was in this offseason, he's got this lab, they call it. I think it's in Seattle, where baseball players go, and he like does all this crazy stuff where he's throwing at 115, 120 miles an hour, but he's doing it with a running start, and he's doing all these different things to try and, you know, increase his velocity and do things. But in the process, you're also setting yourself up for more chance of injury, unless you're really, you know, minding your P's and Q's in terms of your physical wellness and making sure that you're not overdoing it, because there's such a grind in baseball. But you bring up another good point. Here's the other thing you got to think about. If you're injured once, teams are going to remember it every single time they negotiate with you. So all of a sudden you change your mentality and you go, you know what? I want a long-term deal. They're going to go, whoa, wait a minute. I would have given you the long-term deal a couple years ago when you were this age and never had a history of arm problems. But now that you've had them once, track record says there's a chance you could have them again. I'm not going to be as likely as a team to push out a multi-year deal for
but
you.
But just to play devil's advocate, usually you lose like you – you lose that leverage when it's an injury that you're overcoming that's probably not that common or not that serious. Isn't that safe to say? Because, like, if you, like, for example, Kawhi Leonard, he had a serious injury, but that wasn't going to stop anybody in terms of negotiating.
Well,
he was going to get paid.
A pulled muscle or a strain or even a broken bone.
But, like, an Achilles
is a lot easier to deal with than an ACL or an Achilles or things like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I think that's when you have the leverage. When it's like in basketball, an Achilles injury, that, like, almost always gives the negotiating leverage to the team, right? Because Boogie Cousins was an unbelievable player, is an unbelievable player. Unfortunately, he got injured again, but he came off that Achilles injury, getting paid only $5 million a year, and he did well for that
but
team.
But you know what? Now with this other injury, to my point, once you get injured once, and now because of this injury, he's also going to have to prove himself again next year, and teams aren't going to max him out, and they're not going to give him multi-year deals, because they're really gun-shy now going, well, first it was an Achilles, now it's this, and what's going to be next? I'm not going to risk a whole bunch of money for you to be on the injured list again and basically peter out after another year or two.
It seems like it's going to be a talking point regardless. Even if it's not a serious injury, it's going to be a topic of discussion considering it's a negotiation. You know what I mean? You can't just throw your money at people.
And don't
bid
forget,
against
you
yourself if
NBA,
you're the team.
NBA with Achilles? How about Deontay Foreman? How about the NFL? How about Achilles in the NFL? Once you are a running back or a wide receiver and you do an Achilles.
And that's what I was saying. Like, what are those injuries in the MLB that like teams are going to be like, oh, whoa, I'm really not messing with you. And what are those injuries that are going to be? Are they going to be like, you know what? He might be able to get over this. Let's take a chance on this kid.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. Knee deep in hour number one, 3 hour show. If you want to join us, come on in. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. Hit us up on Twitter. You guys have been great. We see a lot of comments coming in. So keep them rolling right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Take us anywhere on the go, including my friend Jamie, who is rolling out of town listening to Stephen A. Smith instead of us. I just gave him a lecture on a text message.
What is he doing?
Yeah, I told him ESPN975.com, download the app, and never ever do this again, or we're not going to be friends.
Yeah, go to your local app store on your phone or on your iPad or on your Android. Search ESPN Houston, download the app, listen to all your favorite programming, including The Usual Suspects from anywhere in the world. I don't know why you wouldn't do something like that.
I thought about calling him and going, and then calling somebody by the wrong name, but I didn't want to do that.
Boy, it is getting out of hand. It is getting out of hand, the amount of mistakes he's getting. Like, I expect myself to have those type of fumbles, like verbal fumbles on the air. But him...
They happen. Barry Warner, they happen all the time. You knew that from
firsthand. Well, they're not really verbal fumbles with him. They're more just like complete inaccurate players that are not even on certain teams.
How about you and Raheel? Because he would just flail names out there that weren't even close because that's just lazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because we have that little audio piece that our production guy, Michael Carroll, did. That was literally, 2.5 years ago? Remember when I was getting all those liners and Stephen A. Smith?
Yes.
I asked him to mention our radio station. And he's like, oh, wait, that's my station. My bad.
Yeah.
And that was literally 2.5 years ago before he started getting any type of spotlight for all the mistakes that he's making. So
now he's on a roll. And a lot of times they say when it rains, it pours. And we were talking about this, how many times he's mispronounced names or said the wrong name or said the name of a guy that he said was going to be a factor in a game. And it turns out, you know, the guy was on the injured list the entire year and never played. And now it just keeps rolling. The other day, he had Bruce Allen on, the general manager of the Redskins. And they were talking about the fact that Dave Gettleman and the Giants swears that two other teams would have taken Jones, the quarterback, out of Duke if the Giants didn't take him at 6. So Stephen A. asked the general manager of the Redskins, about Bruce Allen, about it. And Bruce Allen was raving about the fact he was, first of all, Dave Gettleman doesn't have a clue about what was on my draft board. But secondly, we felt like we had a really good draft. And he made sure to say, especially when in our second pick in the first round, we got Montrez Sweat. Max then asks a question. Stephen A. comes back and goes, Bruce, I really want to know now. I want to get more into this. Marquez Sweat, I need you to talk about Marquez Sweat. Why is Marquez Sweat going to make a difference? And then Bruce Allen, which you could go one of two ways. You could say, without even saying anything, you could say, you know what, we were really ecstatic about the fact we got Montrez Sweat and with the numbers he put up at the combine, or say something like that. Instead, he just didn't even mention his name. He goes, look, I think we got two really good players. And with this, and someone got in his ear because you can see Stephen A.'s eyes go kind of like, oh. And all of a sudden, Max wants a station. He goes, time out. Okay, so I said Sweat and I meant Sweet. I mean, it happens from time to time. You know I know what a guy's name is. And everybody's like, no, after your 18th mistake this month in names and it's only May 2nd, no.
You would think the general manager wouldn't take the high road in that situation, right? And just straight call him out.
That's what I'm saying.
But no, I can. My theory on why he wouldn't, because chances are, you know, Stephen A., he's such an important like personality on ESPN. Chances are he's not going to get fired. I'm not going to say he's not getting fired. I'm just saying chances are he's not going to get fired. If you call him out and it rubs Stephen A. the wrong way, every time he talks about your team, he may be in a negative light. And I guarantee you that's a part of the reason why he didn't call him out. Because if you call him out and you sour your relationship with Stephen A., he may take it personal, which you shouldn't feel like that. And I'm not saying that's why the general manager did that. I'm just saying if you do that and Stephen A. just feels some type of way about you.
Now, perfect diocese for us to talk about this. We got two guys that have done radio production at a high level for a long time. I used to produce TV, and I've been on the TV side of things as well as radio. I'm going to tell you this. From a TV perspective, if anyone on our crew, announcer-wise, made a mistake like that, we would be in their ear at some point just to quickly say, it's sweat, not sweet. And then I rely on the talent to get it in at some point. We had this discussion a while back, whereas do you think ESPN on the radio side and on the TV side, either they're intimidated by Stephen A. and he might get mad, or that they don't have enough crewing to be able to say that they would have someone standing by to say that he and caught that? What's your guys' take on this? Because if it's on the radio show, I would think you guys have been in this position. Would you correct him?
I think you should. I think they do. I think they do. I think he can just get away with it. I think they do. I'm sure, Tyler, you've corrected on-air hosts in their ear.
Yeah.
It's common. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't necessarily believe that the producers are going to be scared of doing that to him. I just think because of his name, he can get away with it. He has more leeway.
I don't know, Nicholas. I'm going to tell you something right now. I know the crew real well, obviously, for Rockets games. There are certain guys that like to be corrected and certain guys that don't. And the thing that you got to keep in mind is if you correct them and you know that they're going to react the wrong way, you may lose them for the rest of your show, the rest of the game, whatever, because they're going to be so focused and pissed off because they got corrected that they won't focus on the job at hand. So it's a real delicate situation.
I believe that. I believe that happens. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, what are you going to do? You're going to lose your job? Like Stephen A. is going to go off and say, hey, this guy corrected me in my ear. Fire him. Like, what are you going to do?
Because it was TV and it was national TV, I believe that Stephen A. wouldn't go off on the air. I believe he'd light somebody up during a break. I would take that L off the air if it meant on the air that the company and Stephen A. got it right. They were able to correct it. But again, some people just don't want to get that verbal bashing or whatever. They fear that if there's a chance that could happen, they're going to bail on it.
I just think that's weak on, if that's the case, that's weak on Stephen A.'s part, because ESPN is considered the standard, right? The four-letter network. They're considered the standard, the go-to, and you're a representative of like the biggest sports media outlet in the country, and you have to be right. Like you have to be accountable. And that's what that producer's there for, man. I don't know. You're probably right. They might pick their battles. They might have a situation where one day they feel like, you know what, I'm going to correct them a lot because this is getting out of hand. And then maybe they might let one or two go.
Yeah, but you got to believe this. It's ESPN. And you know what? They care about their image. And there's enough people watching from the tape room to the guys in master control running commercials to your audio guys, producers, directors, whatever, that they know that, hey, this guy's had more than a couple hiccups lately. And from an overall imaging standpoint, we probably need to make sure that we nip these quickly so that it doesn't become another, you know, trending topic on Twitter. So I just think that they got to do a better job.
You know what I would do? I would do is like every time he makes a mistake, you know that thing is going to be isolated and probably published on Awful Announcing. Every time that happens, it's going to be put on Twitter or on social media. Get a link of all the times he's made a mistake, and then once a week, email it to him. Like, look, I'm just letting you know. I am just letting you know. There's got to be someone strong enough.
Unnamed announcers used to get so upset if they were corrected during a broadcast.
I bet you I can take a guess. I bet you it's Bill Worrell. Let's be honest.
No, I'm not.
It's totally Bill Worrell.
Unnamed announcers.
Without a doubt, it's Bill Worrell. If you correct Bill Worrell, he's gonna go crazy on your ass. I can already guarantee. No one corrects Bill Worrell. Let's be honest.
They would play his favorite musical interests,
his being Bill Worrell,
during commercial breaks, just so that they could hopefully reel him back in so that he would be focused back on the game at hand going forward.
I was told by a Rocket staff member that Bill Worrell has socks that says bleep you on it.
I don't think I don't. I've never seen
no
them.
BS.
I have not seen
lying.
Them.
This is not a made up story.
I don't. Boy,
Bill, not a made up story.
Bill's pretty. He's above board.
Is he vulgar?
No, he's pretty. I was gonna say he's pretty above board. Pros.
He'll straight curse you out.
He's a pros pro kind of guy in terms of like on the air and everything like that. I don't think I couldn't see him wearing those socks.
I'm telling you,
I could see Bullard wearing those socks.
I'm telling you, a Rocket staff member told me he has a pair of socks that says "Bleep you" on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, Bill's he might be getting salty in his old age.
I mean, he's got to be in his late 60s, early 70s.
I'll let you Google that. I'm not going to get involved.
He's got to be in his 60s or 70s.
Yeah, he has ways of getting in touch with me. So, all right, one in the books. Still 2 hours to go of the show. Don't go anywhere.
72.
And, of course, if you want to join in, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.